This is the news, according to me.
Wow.
That's all I got to say. Wow. Drinking hot chocolate because power was out at my studio this morning, my office. I wasn't at my home office because the power was out, so I came in here to find out if anything was frozen. And nothing was frozen. And so I turned all the water on so that at least it would, this office has city water. Yum. Fortified with four different kinds of lead. So I was wearing my Carhartt sitting around here. I thought, well, I'm trying to think, you know, there are ways I could do the show on my iPad just by recording via the iPad and then doing that. As long as I have data, I can do that. But I opted not. I opted for the not on that one because I wasn't sure exactly what that would sound like. And, you know, I know you guys are all about the quality of sound of this broadcast because it's really important to you. They have the highest premium on quality sound here. I got a $32 microphone, and no, it's actually a little more than that. $3,200. No, it's not even that much, actually. But it's not cheap. Let's just say I don't want to replace it soon. Because nothing but the best for my audience. Yeah. Because you guys pay a premium for this show, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cheat you. I don't want to short you. Huh. Oh, which leads into my segue on what's going on. Speaking of shorting things, we have a little incident happened this week. And it once again has exposed some of the stuff that's going on and how closely tied to the bureaucracy and the technocracy and the financial ocracy, if that's a word. I just made it up. It is now. It's a word now. It's going to trend really big on Reddit. You know, I'm not a part of the whole money thing, the money thing. I'm not a part of that. I don't have anything to do with money. I don't make money. I don't have money. I don't even know how to spell money for sure. I'm not even quite sure. I think it's M-U-N-E-E, I think is the way it's spelled. Or maybe there's two N's. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, that would make sense. M-U-N-N-E-E, I think is the way you spell it. Money. I've never seen it. I've heard it's out there, but I've never actually seen any of it. I'm curious about what it might look like. The thing about the... For those of you who live under a rock, I'll explain what's going on. Reddit. Reddit is this thing that's like a... It's an online community that's probably heading for censorship or deplatforming or something. I'm sure. It's kind of a posting form, I guess. I know I've read stuff on there because I've read it because people send me links and stuff on Reddit and I go on there and look at what's been posted on Reddit. I don't know. But I don't know that I don't really use Reddit for anything. Maybe I should. I don't know. Maybe I could boost this podcast up to be worth $300 billion. Because that really is pretty much what it's valued at. This is an intellectual property, and I would say I'm putting a value of, I think I'll discount it today. I think I'll go conservative and just say it's worth $250 billion. Might as well, because Congress seems to be throwing those kinds of numbers out there just like that's like it's water. So apparently, just make it a really large number. Kind of like when they were doing the big stimulus package the first time under Obama. Well, we didn't know how much we needed. We just knew we needed a really big number. So we just threw $780 billion out there. And then, of course, it started getting into the trillions. And now they keep it. Now you're going to notice that all of these stimulus packages can't go over, they can't hit $2 trillion now. Everything's $1.9 trillion. I learned this little trick, sadly, in church meetings. There was a church a while back that I was a part of for a long time. And they were in this meeting and they were talking about a building project. And they knew the governing officials, the board, the pastor, who was basically in charge of everything, decided that we had to sell this to the community, to the congregation. Now, I was not on the board because this pastor didn't want me on the board, even though some people did. So I won't go any further on that. But let's, or maybe I will. Who knows? I might just go. You know, you never know where I'm going to go. So we had this little discussion about, and we had a big church meeting, had a big congregational meeting. Not that it mattered because they were going to do whatever they wanted to anyway. Didn't matter what we said. But it was basically a sales meeting. They were trying to get us to, they wanted us to be heard, but at the same time, it didn't matter. It's kind of like our Congress. We want to hear from you, but it doesn't matter because we're still going to do whatever we're going to do anyway. Because we know what's best for you, even though you don't think you don't know what's best for you, but we know what's best for you. Yeah. So we're going to take your money.
I'm going to take those profits.
Yeah. And we're going to, whatever. So then, that was Hillary Clinton, by the way. She stepped in to say she's going to take her profits, those profits, which she did say on the campaign trail in 2015. Actually, no, she said that back in 2007, I think, when Obama got in. That was during the campaign of 2007 and 2008. She's been around a long time, hasn't she? So, two words, term limits. The whole point of this meeting was to sell this idea on us. And the one statement that really stuck out to me, that showed me that this was more about manipulation and a little bit of deception. Well, a lot of deception, actually, than it was about hearing from the people. Here's what I heard this back from a board member later on. They wanted it to be a $950,000 project. They couldn't use the $1 million word. So they had to get the budget for this had to be at $950,000 because they didn't want it to sound like $1 million. They didn't want to use the word million. Even though they knew that $950,000 was only a portion of the quote from the contractor. That was the structure and the internal walls. That did not include carpeting, doors, hinges, all the other things. It did include electrical. So we had that going for us. We could at least plug stuff in to sweep the carpet that wasn't going to be there. Fully well knowing that this thing was going to run over $1 million. Fully well knowing it. They didn't have the money to pay for it up front, so they were talking about having a fundraiser while the construction was going on. Now, they did have some money saved up. They had a building fund. Didn't have the money to put the whole thing up at front, and they ended up having to do it in stages because of the fact that a lot of people left the church then at some point. It wasn't because of that. It wasn't just because of that. Some people left because of that, but then other people left for other reasons very shortly after that before the whole thing was done. But I digress. So they built it. They built it anyway. But the whole point of my story here is that they were trying to keep it palatable, keep the amount palatable, something that the people could absorb, would be okay with. They wouldn't revolt and attack the Capitol over. That's what we're seeing today now. They never wanted to have I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but ever since about, 1992. Now it's happened before, but it hasn't really been a big bill. It happened in 1988. And it had happened before as well in, I think it was 1970 sometime. I remember as a kid, I remember hearing about it, but it wasn't as big of a deal. It was just something like it was in the news. They just kind of read it off and there he went. In 92, it was a big deal. Because of the state of the economy, supposedly, because the whole thing that the country was run on was the whole aspect. Bill Clinton won in 92, by the way, if you didn't know that. So he took office in 93. And when he did that, the whole thing, I don't know if you remember George Carville, the guy that talked like this, he had a really strong Southern drawl on his accent. He was like in charge of the campaign, in charge of the Clinton campaign. And he basically, at the end of the whole thing, it was all over with, and after they supposedly won, I kind of wonder now, but they won, supposedly won the election, and beat George Bush number one. And of course, they blamed his loss on him saying something about no new taxes, and he waffled, and I don't know that was the only reason that he lost. I really don't. There was more to it than that, but that's beside the point. So they always like to come up with one reason. Like Jimmy Carter, when he lost to Reagan, he claimed it was because the only reason he lost is because he didn't get the hostages out of Iran. I got news for you, Jimmy. That was not the reason. When I heard him say that, this was several years later. It was probably, I think Bill Clinton was already in office, and he came out and he said, "Well, you know, if I would have just gotten the hostages out of Iran, I would have won that election." No, no, you wouldn't have. No, no, Jimmy, you would not have won that election. I think they try to repaint history because things were in such a mess. The shortages, there were meat shortages, peanut shortages of all things, from a president who was from Georgia, the peanut state. We had sugar shortages, milk shortages, and of course the big one, the gas shortage. We were told that it would never be the same. We're running out of gas, so there's no more gas left. And here we are 50 years later with a glut of oil. So, yeah. Thanks for that. And now because of fracking, oh, wait, never mind. So they got these trillion-dollar bills. And these all started because we started doing these stimulus packages after the elections. And we gotta stimulate the economy. We're gonna infuse. I think the first one. I think Clinton's was $700 billion. I think maybe it was $400 billion. It was a ridiculous amount of money at that time. And it just, of course, this is back when you could buy a house for $30,000, and a decent house for $30,000. And of course, the more money they infuse into, the more money they print, the more less your money's worth. So that's why we have to spend more on a house now. That's what inflation is all about. It's all about too much money out there. They devalue the dollar by flooding, paying off things with no production. So if you had $100,000 in the bank back in 1970, you were a rich individual. That was like pretty much like having $1 million now. Back in 1970, I think you could probably buy a car for about $2,000, a brand new car, about $2,000. If that, there's probably some out there for cheap, less than that. And you could buy a house. The average house was probably in the $20,000 range in most of the country. So anyway. So, yeah, we've come a long ways, haven't we? So the point is, and there is one, we have this situation where we have now, of course, they never wanted to go over $1 trillion on anything. They didn't want a trillion. I don't know when the first $1 trillion bill was. It was probably, I know that they were proposing one under Clinton. I don't think it ever happened. And it may have been actually under Bush 1, or Bush 2, I mean, after 9/11. It may have been then, because I'm not sure exactly what the Homeland Security, TSA, act, that whole thing cost. I think it was I think that was their first excuse to spend a whole bunch of money. Now, as we've seen in the stimulus, I think people were paying attention more last year than more than normal. Normally, nobody notices. They just see the For the People Act. Oh, okay, this is for the people. Yes, it's for the people. We represent them. We represent them. We know them, and we represent them. That's why they're out there in the street, living on the street, so Nancy says. So, so last year, of course, it's you know, not the very beginning of Trump's administration, we had another big, huge bill. And he said this, he'd let him know. He goes, this isn't going to happen again. Now, this is what, I think this is what his thinking was. Don't get me wrong. There was a huge amount of spending under Trump, and it did not sit well with me. And I blame Congress for that. In the first 2 years, we had the Congress, we had the whole thing. Trump had Congress, Senate, and, Congress was mealy-mouthed cowards who thought that they actually believed this whole thing about Russia and wanted to get out. So by 2018, they were all retiring. A bunch of them retired. Like 38 House representatives retired, I think, something like that, on the Republican side. Devastating, because you can't, you know, incumbents are are much more likely to be voted in, whereas that was only part of it. That was part of the issue, and there was also the cheating issue and some of the other stuff that was happening in 2018. But that it just devastated the House. But they were, you know, let them go. They're probably never Trumpers, because the reason they got out was because they didn't like Trump. They didn't want to be a part of his administration. Didn't want to be part of this. They thought this was I don't want to be part of this. My poop doesn't stink like his does. So I realize I'm all over the place. You don't have to tell me. What's this guy talking about? So here I am, and I'm thinking about all this stuff and how they after every election, after every change of the peaceful transfer of power. I should read Jackie Walarski's letter that she sent me. And then we witnessed the peaceful transfer of power. I'm still struggling with some of that stuff, but and we'll get into that a little bit more. So we have this issue of every time somebody wins an election now, every 4 years, we have to have this stimulus package. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to this or not, and it goes up every time. It started with Clinton. It really started with Clinton, because he was the one who had the huge stimulus package. And it was like $700 billion, I think, or something like that. I think. Maybe it was less than that. So he got that done, and of course that didn't do anything. It just, you know, the economy has its natural ebbs and flows, and $700 billion is really nothing to our economy in terms of cash flow, especially when it's coming from the government, because it doesn't really, there's nothing there. There's no wealth there. It's just being, it's artificial. Kind of like the stock market. So we have, and there's some wealth there as well, but it's not what it looks like. So and we'll get into that about the whole Reddit thing. We'll get back to that. I'm circling all the way back to that. So we're going to go, so we have this, this issue here of, okay, so then Bush gets in and he had a stimulus package. He had this economic development fund or whatever it was. Of course, then we had 9/11. And that was another big reason to spend a whole bunch of money and develop more bureaucracies and have the Patriot Act. I know, let's be patriots and give up our rights. So we did that. We were all in because, you don't want to let that crisis go to waste. So we had more intrusive government. A lot of things were knee-jerk reactions that didn't matter. Pretty much everything that was in the Patriot Act and the TSA probably would not, and everything that they were doing in airport security would not have stopped those hijackers that day. There was nothing that would have stopped the hijackers that was in that, those initial legislations. As far as the general public is concerned, now, there were some things behind the scenes that the NSA did, the way they have the interaction. The DNI, I think, was formed at that time as well, Department of National Intelligence, which was supposed to be able to curate all of the, you know, culminate all of the intelligence agencies, because some of them couldn't talk to each other. Because you had foreign intelligence, which could not intermingle with inside the country stuff. That's my, there you go. So we had that, and some of those things changed, but that very little really changed. So then we had, I mean, the hardening of the cockpit doors was the biggest thing on airplanes. Before that, they were basically tinfoil. And they finally put in some doors that were pretty hard to get them down. And then, of course, that also affected the way some airplanes, because airplanes weren't built that way, so they had to modify the aircraft, which was a problem too for some of the flight crew, because they took out some of our lockers and some of the other, there was a whole bunch of issues with that whole stuff. So had that kind of stuff done. Well, then, so the stimulus package has been this thing where every time somebody gets elected. Now Obama, B.O., of course, he rode in on the horse of, this economy is terrible. The 2008 economy was just terrible. And it devastated more stuff than what this pandemic has done. And it just amazes me that our economy is in better shape now than it was in 2008, in spite of all this stuff. Now, it's not going to stay that way, because the policies that are being enacted right now, I guarantee you, we will start feeling this in the shorts by about fall of this year. It's going to be painful, and it's not going to go away. Now, the Republicans are depending on that, or hoping they're wanting that to happen, because they think that by running the ship into the ground, you see, they're going to be successful. People get this wrong impression of success. And Rush Limbaugh brought this up a few years ago, it was back in 2009 when Obama took office, and they asked him if he hoped that Obama would succeed. And he said no. And they thought, oh, that's terrible, because our country, if Obama doesn't succeed, that means that the country doesn't succeed. No, 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 no. That's not what he's saying. If his policies succeed, the country does not succeed. That's what he was concerned about. If he succeeds in getting his policies through that he wanted at that time, and they continued to get worse, it would mean that the country would suffer. And that's where the news people got it wrong. That's where we typically, you think that these people want the best for us. If they did, and they were successful in getting the best for us, and here's the sad part about it is, a lot of them really actually think that they are doing the best for us, that they think that they need to step in and be our parents. And maybe some people do need that, because of the educational system we have right now is pretty much dumbing people down to the point where they can't depend on themselves, and they have no ability to function on their own. So now there are some people and what's sad about that is there are people who genuinely need a safety net, who actually do need help. And the way the system is set up, those people, there's not enough to go around. They don't really get the help they need. And the people who really don't need help are the ones who are scamming the system. And we know it all happens. Everybody knows it happens. I say, oh, it's a very small percentage of people. If you knew the numbers on how much they estimate in actuality to be fraud within every government program, your head would pop off. I don't want anybody's head to pop off, so I'm not going to talk about it. So we had this whole thing go on with all the stimulus package stuff. So then we had, you know, Obama with this is the big one, shovel-ready projects. We got shovel-ready projects. And, you know, a couple of years later, he says, well, I guess those shovel-ready projects weren't quite as shovel-ready as I thought. Huh. That's funny. And that was about a $900 billion bill as well, by the way. $900 billion for shovel-ready projects to get the... They always talk about roads and bridges. I got news for you. Most roads and bridges in this country, the vast majority of them, are state-funded and county-funded. Now, they do get government funding. They do get government grants for things. And the dirty little trick secret there is, if you don't spend it, you lose it. In other words, if they have money available to local airports for doing improvements, and if the airport doesn't take the money, they lose it. Here's the sad part about that. The project is going to cost $42 million. The government is going to give you $15 million. But if we don't do this project, we're going to lose that $15 million. No, if you do this project, you know, subtract $15 million from $42 million, that's what you're going to lose if you do the project. Do you really need the project so badly that you're going to spend? I mean, I get it. You're going to, so it's a savings. I understand it. But did you really need it? I mean, I've been on airport board meetings where the thinking was, well, it's kind of like having a coupon. Well, look at the money I saved. How much did you spend? Now, if it's money you're going to spend anyway, if it's things you're going to buy anyway, things that you need, then absolutely, yeah, those coupons, that saved you some money. I mean, because you were going to spend anyway. The problem I had with the airport stuff, some of these grants and some of these bureaucracies and some of these little cities and counties that spend this money because they're going to get federal funding to do it, they're still spending money on stuff that they probably don't need, or money that they could have spent differently to probably do a better job, do something a little bit more efficiently, instead of looking at options. Well, the government's, you know, showing us this money here. We got to take this money because, you know, now we only have to spend, you know, $25 million now, $26 million, instead of spending $42 million. Okay, whatever. But you wouldn't have spent the $42 million. You would have waited till you had the money. And then the taxpayer wouldn't be on the hook already. Now you got this more, you got a bigger facility now you got to maintain, which is going to cost more money as well. Anyway, whatever. It's Friday. It's Philosophical Friday. So today, if Rabbi Rick is able to make it today, we're going to be talking about some of this stuff about the philosophy, philosophical ramifications of government and stuff, along with everything else that's going on. So today we got, this morning, I just want to circle back on this whole thing about Reddit and how the, you know, the money keeps flowing. And now, of course, at the beginning of Obama's administration, beginning of Obama's administration, there was a stimulus package. Then there was the shovel-ready projects. Then, you know, and because it was every 2 years. Now it's become every 2 years. Now they have to pass something to some kind of big spending bill. And then the budget comes up. And then, they just keep kicking that can down the road. And as a side note, I keep hearing everybody talks, who sticks up for Bill Clinton, talks about, yeah, Bill Clinton left office. There were no deficits. The deficit was zero. That's playing with numbers. That's what that is. Don't give me that. Because here's what they call a deficit. The deficit only means that they overspent their budget. So it doesn't mean that they cut spending. It means that they approved all the spending. And it doesn't mean they spent less. When you look at the numbers and see what they did, you have to back, because they play those numbers all the time. Oh, we had the deficit was down to zero, and then George Bush took over and ran it back up again. You have to look at the actual numbers and see where we were, and it's the kind of spending that happens. Now, under Obama, the the national debt went up exponentially into the trillions of dollars. Before that, it was not, I think he more than doubled it, the national debt. Now, right now, when he left office, we had about 80, every man, woman, and child, all 320 million of us in this country, every man, woman, and child, if you had in your pocket $87,000 and paid it to the government, every single one of us, we would have had a zero debt. We would have had zero debt. That's how much is on every one of our heads. Now you might say, well, the corporations pay a lot more, so they're going to pay more of that debt. Yeah. How do you think corporations get their money? By selling stuff to you. The consumer and the actual producer who actually, you know, puts the elbow grease in, it's on your back. You're the one that's eventually, the worker out there who does the work is the one who's creating wealth that people are stealing from you. You go into debt, you are basically leasing your future self for 10 years or 15 years or however, 6 years or however long it is you're in debt for. Now, you may not be, you know, giving them all of your time, 24 hours a day, but you're giving a percentage of your time every day to pay off that debt. That's a percentage of your life you're giving away to pay off that debt for a car that will be worth nothing by the time you get the debt paid off. A house is a little different, but by the time you figure in paying property tax, which can go up, association fees if you live in an association, a housing association, which I would never do, and you're in a, you know, any kind of maintenance you have to do on that home, all those other things. If you work it out right and things go well for you, maybe the house will be worth everything you've put into it. Maybe. Now you have to pay to live somewhere, so that you are getting something for the living in the home. At least it's not a, you know, backwards sum game typically. However, if you would have saved your money and paid cash for that house, you probably would be better off. Start with something small, work your way up. Save your money. And then later on, you can live like nobody else. I mean, I'm all for the Dave Ramsey thing. I think he's refined his methods pretty well. It doesn't work for everybody. It's pretty tough, but it's pretty good advice. He's helped a lot of people get out of pretty bad situations. And you know, I wish I had known about that whole idea of managing money back when I was 16. I took out a loan for my first car. But that's, I digress, because I digress a lot. So then we have Trump stepping into office, and they talked him into doing this whole big thing for the budget. And basically, I think his philosophy was, I'm going to work with you guys on this. I'm going to go ahead with, I'm going to be okay with the spending bill. This isn't going to happen again. He said it. This isn't going to happen again. In other words, get your act together. I'm going to give you guys something. Now you're going to give me something. You're going to give me the wall. And of course, they fought against him every step of the way because Orange Man bad, even though he just gave them what they needed. Now, I don't know how it would have gone if he would have bucked against that and said, and just shown force and strength from the very beginning and not cowed to that. I don't know if it would have gone any better or not. I do know that when you show weakness to your adversary, it does not usually end well. It charges them up more than it makes them realize the position they're in. So we have this issue now where we have this new person in office. And he is just he's an empty coat, guys. He's an empty suit. He's not running the show. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but he's not even sure what he's signing half the time. He's stammering around. The neurological issues that I was talking about in one of my earlier shows are starting to become evident. The way he walks, he has a different stammer now. He's starting to short step. It's kind of like he's walking on the balls of his feet. He kind of shuffles his feet a little bit more now. His speech has become much more slurred, more consistently. The burnout is beginning to happen, and this has only been a week, folks. He's been in office, and I'm telling you, by the end of February, this is not going to be looking very well. It's not going to be looking good at all. I would say by spring, they're going to. If I'd be amazed if they're not, if Carmella's not already in by the end of spring, at least. They can prop him up for quite a while, but I don't know. When it starts to become so obvious, I don't know that they can do much more for him. So we have this $1.9 trillion bill that they just passed recently, the stimulus checks that came out. I guess I assume people are getting their checks. I don't know. I won't get one. I'm sad. I'm not going to get one. However, they're going to hire me back. They're going to hire me back to a job that there's no work to be done. So they're going to pay me to sit at home, which I'm okay with that. And then that's going to run out. With my recall letter, I actually got a warn letter as well, because by the time they get me back on staff, the legislation runs out a month later. So they're less than a month later. So they have to give me a warn letter now. So we're calling you back, and we're also warning you that you're going to be furloughed again. Okay. Well, whatever. I'll come back and you give me a check and I'll go back home. Crazy stuff, guys. The Congress does not understand how some companies work, how some industries work. So we have this new stimulus package coming out again. $1.9 trillion. Now, the first one that came out right before, the one that Nancy kept dragging her feet on and wouldn't do anything until after the election. What was that one? That one was $1.4 billion. Is that what it was? I can't remember. Or was it $900 billion? I don't remember. That one was the $600 check for individuals. And I think that one turned out to be that $600 check, the direct payments to people the direct payments to people was a total of about $100 billion out of that bill. And all the rest of the money, including a huge chunk of money that went to Israel. I'm all behind Israel, but they gave more money to Israel than they gave to the people of the United States in this bill for COVID relief. It's a COVID relief bill, folks. And then they gave money to somebody to rebuild a boat over in some other country, and some other money to do something else about gender transition stuff over in some other country. I mean, when you go through this bill and look at all the stuff that was there, this is payola. Okay, this is paybacks after an election, and it's pay forwards as well, because they're greasing the wheels of the next election. You keep us in power, we'll keep the money flowing, and that's what's happening. That's what happened. I don't know. I didn't see any breakdown of this $1.9 trillion bill. I didn't see anything about that. But we're getting a $1,400 check, supposedly. Okay, so that's a little over twice as much. So maybe that would have cost, what, $200 billion? $210 billion for everybody for that check? But the bill was for $1.9 trillion? Where's all the money going? $2 trillion. Here's what you can do for $2 trillion. Every household, there's about 100 million households, and that's whether they're single parent, single individual homes or families. There's about 100 million, what you would classify terminology of households. And there's a little over three people per household, I think, on average, which makes 300 million people. And of all those people, so you have 100 million households, you could give every single household $20,000. Now, think about that. Well, would they have to help out small business? I guarantee you, if the owner of the small business and all of his employees got $20,000, the business would be doing just fine. Nobody would be stressed. If every single employee of every company, big company, got $20,000, those companies can close their doors and do whatever they need to do. It's okay. Here's the problem. You're paying, you know, the big cats, the big fat cats, money, helping them out, doing all kinds of legislation, throwing money all over the world that comes back to your coffers in offshore bank accounts. Don't tell me they don't exist. It's one of the first things a congressman will do is set up an offshore bank account. This is all the dirty little seething underbelly that hardly anybody knows about in this country. They establish a cash flow system. This is the reason that people get into office and never leave, because they have all this money at their disposal to literally just blast campaign financing. And the little guy can't get into office because of it. Try to primary. You go ahead and try to primary. Okay, how much money you got? Try to primary somebody in your local district who's been there for three or four terms, which should be a maximum of two. Term limits, folks. Term limits. Campaign finance reform. Real campaign finance reform. That's done by somebody other than a politician. You don't think that they're going to do that? That's the fox watching the hen house, folks. When they do their own campaign finance reform, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to go ahead and have a session of Congress. Now we're going to figure out what we're going to do for the people. First thing on the agenda is to let's vote ourselves a raise. Yeah, let's do that. Because we're going to be working really hard over the next, because we have to work so hard during this pandemic. And we have, yeah, so they're going to do all that stuff. So finally, I'm getting around to the Reddit story. It's like a cliffhanger, isn't it? Can't wait to hear about it. So Reddit, now if you want to hear the best report I have heard on this thing, was Tucker Carlson. Now I hesitate to push anybody or to point anybody to Fox News anymore. I typically, even when I see Tucker with a good headline and something I want to watch, I typically shy away from it. I don't even like giving them clicks on YouTube. I don't have cable television. I have a sewer system in my house. I don't need another one. So I don't have cable at all. A lot of good programming on it. I just don't, there's a lot of crap on there. So I want to pay that kind of money just for watching a couple different shows, like Invention Channel or something, whatever. I like watching that stuff. So that we have, but I can watch whatever I need to on YouTube, and at least for now, at least all the little hobby stuff I watch. Can't get much good news on there anymore. But you have, and there's still some decent channels on there. So yes. So here's the deal. We have Tucker. His show last night. Now this is today. I don't know if I said this or not. Today's January 29th. I think it was January 28th. Hit the evening show for Tucker. If you get a chance, try to find it. It's on Fox News, the Fox News channel on YouTube, or you can, if you watch Fox News or wherever you might pick it up. I think I may have watched it actually by somebody else posting a link to it or something. However, I got that. But I watched it, and he did the best explanation. And I think he was actually interviewing Portnoy, the guy from Barstool, which is a, it's like a, It's like a, I don't know what kind of site it is. He's kind of famous for something. I don't know what. And so, but he's kind of big in the news right now because he's raising money for businesses downtown New York. He kind of started this not-for-profit down there. And he was upset because basically there were three organizations. One of them was Robinhood. They're the biggest one in the news. There are three different apps that people can trade on their phone. You can trade stocks. It's like day trading. You can buy and sell, do all the stuff you want to do, or you can just, you know, buy and invest and do whatever you want to do. Robinhood is one of them. I think that Schwab is another one. Charles Schwab, I think, has one, and I believe Ameritrade might have been one. Don't quote me on that. There were three different ones. Maybe I have it here on my little trusty little handheld device. Where'd my handheld device go? It's very possible. Well, I'll find it. But yes, it was, here we go. It was, yeah, right there. It's right there somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. So, yeah, it was three organizations. And so they got in this, in big trouble because, The people who sell short the stock, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing and explain all that. They explain it probably better. There's places out there you can figure out what's going on better than I can explain it to you in the next 15 minutes, but because it'll take me 2 hours. The whole thing was these hedge fund managers on Wall Street. Okay, they basically can crank down on a stock and they can basically drive it into the ground, and by doing so, they have these things they call puts and calls, and you can do this all this stuff, and you can bet against it basically, and you make money when you do so. You sell short the stock, so you drive the stock down. The stock now you still get your money for the stock, but now it's a weird finagling way. Really, it should be illegal. It shouldn't even be allowed. It was meant to be a way to buy an insurance policy, but these guys manipulate the system. They buy these insurance policies basically that turn out to be a way for them to make money. They don't produce anything. They don't do anything. In fact, they make things worse. And these guys make money just by shifting money around. Well, you know, good for them, but bad for the people that they're destroying. And so they had GameStop in their sights. They were going to go after them, and they were going to drive them down. I think their stock was like at $4 a share. I don't know what it is today, but I know that it at one point it got up over $300. Now, think about that. Say you went out and bought 1,000 shares at $4 a share. So that was $4,000. And now that stock is worth almost $400. Okay, if it went up to $40 and you had $4,000 invested, now you got $40,000. It goes up to $400, and you have almost $400,000. That's tapping into the system there a little bit. The worst of it is, for the hedge fund managers, they are out. They have to make up the difference, and it's going to cost them even more. So they basically came in and destroyed these guys. These guys on Reddit came in and basically started this trend to buy. There was basically just a chat site. It was kind of like a posting site type thing. These guys were former investors. They knew what was going on. They knew the inside of the game. They knew how it was played. They're mad about the system. They came in to destroy it. Now, here's where it really gets. And they played fair and square. Did nothing illegal. Nothing. And here is where it really gets, in my opinion, disgusting. And it even gets deeper as time goes on. Robinhood shut down the ability to purchase GameStop stock. I shut it down, along with the other two. So then, you could still sell it, but you couldn't buy it. Which, of course, causes people to get, you know, cold feet, and they start selling out. Now, there were some people who made big money in this little thing. Now, they're talking about going after a couple of other stocks as well now, too. But here's the problem. You have these big fat cats up there saying, well, these little common guys, these little commoners, they're out there buying, they're out there playing around. This shouldn't be allowed. These guys are interfering with the system. This is racketeering. They're calling it all kinds of things. It's nothing illegal. Nothing at all. Here's where it gets illegal. How about Robinhood shutting down your ability to buy a stock to protect these hedge fund managers? This is favoritism on a level that goes beyond belief. So what is your ramification as an investor when somebody does something like that to you? Well, if you think about it, you just go to the review section, right? Give them a bad review. Give them a one-star review. This company did me in. They've shut me off from being able to purchase what I wanted to purchase with a name like Robinhood, no less. And they go ahead and they give them a one-star review. There were so many one-star reviews within 12 hours that it drove the overall average rating of that app down to one star. Oh, but don't worry. Help is on the way. This is where it gets really sickening. Google comes in and helps them out. Changes the reviews. Deletes all the one-star reviews. And now their stock, their app is back up to 4.5 on the review chart. How helpful is that? Now, do you think it's going to help Robinhood? Robinhood's done. If I had the Robinhood app right now, it would be off my phone so fast. Steam would be in its place. That's all you'd see. It'd be gone. And I'm imagining that they are going to be taking it in the butt. Now, the guy who made that decision, who supposedly runs the app, is not the guy in charge. He's just the Joe Biden of Robinhood. He knew full well that when they made the decision to stop being able to purchase any more of that nobody's going to trust that app anymore. They depend on the common guy out there to run that, to keep that app going. Even though there's big shots out there with big money, those aren't the guys trading on their phone. It's the 10 million people that use the app that have their funds connected to that app that are doing, you know, billions of dollars of trading every day. That's where they make their money. So that app's not going to make it. As well as maybe some other banks that did the same thing. Now, here's the sad part about this whole thing is, and this administration doesn't care, because here's why. Jen Yelling is now in charge of she's just got sworn in a few days ago as the Treasury Secretary. Guess what she was doing before she got into that position? Well, let me read it here. I'm going to pull it up because I want to make sure I get this right. Let's see if I spell it right. Is it Jessica Yellen? Yellen. I don't know. That can't be it. Let's try this. Treasury Secretary. Yeah. See, this was Steven Mnuchin's position prior to this. And now it is, there she is. Swearing in of the Treasury Secretary, the first female Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. Now, when asked about this, the incredible, incredibly bright and wonderful communicator that she is. Jen Psaki. When she was asked about this, somebody said, does she have anything to say about what just happened with weigh in on what happened with Reddit? With this? Now, keep in mind what she used to do prior to this. She was involved in one of these organizations. Her past, I'll talk about it more tonight, but her past position was basically doing exactly what these hedge fund managers were doing. She was the head of an organization doing that. She's an inside trader like none other. This whole administration, if you look at it, it is nothing but big business, big corporatists, big money, and big tech. That's all it is in this particular administration. That's all it is. And it's all a bunch of former Obama officials. It is Obama 2.0. Or 3.0, or whatever you want to call it. It's his third term. And he doesn't, you know, he can stay in his basement and talk to him all through an earpiece. Which is exactly what he wanted. And Carmela is even more of one. That's why he wanted her for the pick. So yeah. So the first thing that Jen Psaki came out and said was, when they asked her about it, she said, well, I just wanted to remind you that this is the first female Treasury secretary that the country has ever had. She broke the glass ceiling. It's a big deal. That's the first comment you're going to make. And then there was no response after that. It was basically, I'll circle back with you on that. When she has something to say, probably have to ask her on her press conference or whatever. In other words, I don't know anything. I'm just here to Mark Dice, who I follow as well, I listen to his stuff occasionally, and he, I don't know how he did it, but he took the podium. Somebody took a Raggedy Ann doll and put it up at the podium where the press secretary talks. So as this press conference is going on, they took her picture out and put this other picture of Raggedy Ann up there. The likeness is uncanny. So that was the funny part about it. But so that's what's happening today with the Reddit issue. And we've covered a lot of ground. Boy, you've learned a lot, haven't you? There'll be a quiz later. I'll be sending you a quiz in the mail so you can fill all that out. Don't worry, it's multiple choice. A lot of true and false stuff. So you got about a 40% chance of getting it right, even if you just guess. So, and you only need 10% to pass, and you can graduate into the world of the news, according to me, because that's what this is. This is the news, according to me. And it's been a long morning. The power's back on, by the way. That's why I'm able to do this. Power was off this morning. That's why I had to come in here early this morning. I couldn't be at home. Otherwise, I would have recorded this at home. I was afraid of things freezing up because it's 16 degrees outside. Yeah. Welcome to winter. So here we are. This is January 29th. January's almost over. I only have 11 more months to go. And then we'll already be in the 2022 election cycle. That'd be fun. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom if I don't get to talk to you this evening. And hopefully Rabbi Rick will be with us this evening as well. And we'll go from there. God bless everybody. Have a great day.